The first passage we're going to look at is Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Paul, obviously writing to the saints at Philippi, he says in verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." And then he says in verse 18, he asked the brethren to pray always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Chapter 6 and verse 19, "As for me," pray for me, Paul says, "that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Verse 19, that he may be open his mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 25 through the end of the chapter. Colossians 1. Paul says, "Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily." Verse 25, "I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery." This mystery that has been hid from ages, from generation to generation, but is now made manifest to his saints. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verses 1 through 10. "I, brethren, when I came to you," says Paul, "I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Why? That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God." Verse 7 in this passage, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery." 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse, the last verse of that chapter, verse 16. "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. That is, God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. This mystery of godliness. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, starting in verse 10, the disciples asked our Lord, "Why speakest thou unto them in parables?" And Christ answered and said unto them, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he has. Therefore speak I to them unto them parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." Verse 11, Christ answered them, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven." Matthew chapter 11. And verse 25 and 26. "At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things, these mysterious things, from the wise and prudent, and hath revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight." Now back to our main text, I guess, would be Ephesians 6. In all of these verses, except for the last one I read, these chapters, I mean, except for Matthew 11, the word in our translation that I want to zero in on is mystery, or more properly in the Greek, secret. Secret. Let's look at this mystery of the kingdom. He says it's a mystery of the kingdom, it's a mystery of the gospel, it's a mystery of God. And let's see for ourselves that salvation of sinners is by the total and complete grace of God. Period. Period. So the first point is what is this secret? What is this secret used in these various verses? Well, it is none other than the wisdom of God manifest to all His saints. Because to His saints, to each precious believer, Christ, that mystery, which spoken of in the Old Testament, in type, was unveiled. We can go back to the Old Testament and see in the teachings, we can see Christ crucified. The story of how God saves sinners. We can see that the mysteries back then are now made plain. The prophecies of all found their fulfillment in Christ. And the secret counsels of God have been published and made plain. These mysteries are the secret things of God in how He would seek and save, call and quicken, substitute and reclaim all His elect people. It is God's everlasting gospel of how He can both be just and justify the ungodly. This mystery is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. This mystery is also the mystery of God, the mystery of Christ, and the mystery of His Holy Spirit. Can you explain to me how God could be three persons? It's a mystery. I've read a lot of books, and I've read a lot of explanations. To me, they end up just muddy in the water. There are certain things that mystery, that faith receives and cannot explain. How can God become a man? How can God become the Son? How can God become manifest in the flesh? How can God be called Emmanuel, which is in being interpreted God with us? The mystery of the Spirit's work in regeneration, making us who were not a people, His people, or our union with Christ and having sweet communion with Christ. Or how do you explain the resurrection, that Christ rose from the dead, and so we also in Him will rise to everlasting life? So what are these mysteries of the kingdom? What are the mysteries of God, the mysteries of the gospel? It's the whole scheme of God, His plan to rescue fallen sinners and bring glory to Himself and bring us home to Himself. It is called in this book a mystery, a secret. Now, I went back to my childhood and I thought, what is the secret? You kids, you know what a secret is. If I had something up here and I had it covered, you wouldn't know what it is. You would have no idea what it is until it was revealed. That's the second point. The secret was hid until. This is basic truth. All these truths, or singularly the gospel truth, because all truth converges in Christ and Him crucified. It's like a hub of a wheel. He is the center point. Any Bible interpretation is best interpreted by Christ. Bible interprets Bible. You know, there's a rule of a first usage in the Bible. Find a passage where the word is the first use in the Bible, and that'll give you the good indication of what it is. There's certain principles, but if you have the key, Christ, you have all, because Christ is all in all. These truths, this mystery is hid until they are revealed. That's the short of it. It's hid until it's revealed. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We'll just look at a few of these and I'll tell you show you what I mean. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. They are hid, secondly, until they're revealed. This mystery is hid until it's revealed. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. And verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. So you can look at this Bible. And this Bible is light. It's light. You can look at it and read it from cover to cover. And until it's revealed, you're just guessing. You're just guessing what's underneath that cloth. You have not seen the full glory. And what's God's full glory? Christ and Him crucified. That's why we saw in Matthew 13 why Christ spoke in parables. Because to you it is to reveal the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And people love to trivialize this Bible. They like to put people under bondage with this thing and all these different rules and regulations. They like to put the little thing in the yard. Here, now I haven't seen it here, but it used to be real big around down here. They used to put it in their yard. The rules of life, the Ten Commandments. No. You'll do that and you'll probably be a better person. And I'd rather have you as a neighbor than somebody else. But until the book is revealed, we don't have a clue. We don't have a clue. We are simply, as he says in Ephesians, you don't have to turn there, we are Christ's ambassadors. We simply tell the truth about God, about Christ, and about sin. We pray over it after we preach it. We weep over it after we preach it. And we let it go because we know God's word will prosper regardless. Regardless. He reveals to His people by the Holy Spirit. It is covered with a curtain until that's pulled back. the veil until it was rent. The high priest could not go. Could not go. They couldn't go in there. Well, they had to crawl underneath there, but that's a whole other story. Turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And verse 25 and 26. Colossians 1, verse 25 and 26. Paul says, "Where I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest." Made manifest to his saints. But now is made manifest. That word manifest is to render apparent or to show. What does the scripture say about the Jews when Moses is read? They still have a veil on their heart. It's covered. That's what I'm saying. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. And verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, "I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid." Now that word hid means to cover. So you just kind of get what I'm saying? It's all the same thing. It's a secret. "These things from the wise and prudent, and has revealed them." What is that word revealed? To take away, to literally take off a cover. To the wise and prudent. Or to reveal the secret, the mystery, this secret. God has to unveil your heart. God has to open your eyes and your ears, or you will not understand. And when you understand, you won't understand some basic trivia. Oh, what did he mean by Exodus, this and that, or what's this? You'll understand that this whole theme of this book is a hymn book, an H-I-M book. It's about Christ. And it testifies of him. And you'll see Christ is all you need. You'll see Christ is all you want, because you are, and I am, the vilest of sinners. Paul says, "I'm less than the least. I am right now." He didn't say, "I used to be. I am now." And that's what the grace of God does for us. This is, and I've mentioned many, many times from this pulpit, the two brethren on the road to Emmaus. After Christ had been crucified and he was buried and he rose from the tomb. They were believers. They were walking on the road to Emmaus. And the Christ was with them. He came up to them and they did not recognize him. These were two believers. They did not recognize him. And they talked. And then Christ revealed himself. He revealed himself to them. And what did they say? Didn't our hearts burn within us when he spoke to us? So even believers, because of sin nature, because of the old nature, is ever present with us, we still have to have these things. All things God, all things Scripture, all things regarding the gospel of free substitution in Christ revealed to us. That's the second point. The secret was hid. It's hid until it's revealed. But thirdly, this revelation is only by the free and sovereign grace of God in Christ. As we just looked at in Matthew 11, some were revealed and some were hid. Turn to Matthew chapter 13, verses 10 and verses 16. He answered and said unto the disciples, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries, the secret of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given." It is not given. Grace. It's not earned. And look at verse 16. "But blessed," that is happy, or also could be graced, "are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." So some were blessed and some were not. They see, they hear. because we by nature and by practice are blind and deaf and completely lost. And none are deserving of grace, so there's no boasting. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. Who's us? Anytime you see us, who's us? Well, let's go back and keep it in context. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. Paul's writing to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that are in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. And he look at how, this verse 3. It's almost, I think every, I may be wrong. I have to look at it. I hadn't looked at it in a while. But every epistle starts this way. Grace be unto you and peace. You cannot have peace before grace. It's got to be grace. And it's worded in this, well, it's just how it's grammatically. No, this book was given by inspiration. There's no error. It's always got to be grace. And grace has to be revealed. And what is he revealing? He's revealing the mystery or the secret. And what's that? In one word, it's converged. It's Christ. And that's why, and I used to be big in all this stuff, and I understand we all grow at different places, but I used to be big in Christian apologetics. And I used to love to argue scripture. I've completely abandoned it. Christ is the only thing that will help you and I. It has to be, like he says, it has to be revealed in verse 10. But God hath revealed them to us. It has to be revealed to us. That's purely the grace of God. Not to all men and all women, but to some men and some women. I ask you, how do you contain the Spirit? No man knows this. No man knows how to contain. It says in Scripture, he lists where it does. And it's unaffected by our puny, sinful, supposed will, whatever you want to call it, by our nature. We cannot affect the Spirit. I ask you, and I thought about this, and I by far have not read every Puritan, every grace writer. There's grace writers that, you know, just come into life. Hawker, it was Gill this, Gill that. And then Rupert Reifenbach stumbled across Robert Hawker. And then Hawker, everybody had to get Hawker. All these men, these grace men of years gone by. I ask you this. Do you ever read in any of their writing the word luck or the word chance? Nope. Who cares about these men? Do you ever find the word luck? And I hate to say chance because it's used once, but it's not used how we use it. No. No. It's not. So, you know, again, if you or your children say the word luck, I may give them a look. I may say something because it's not used. Because there's no such thing. The believer does not believe in what they say, faith, which they say is blind, or how they talk of luck all the time. The grace of God in the salvation of men, women, boys, and girls knows no such ideology. Never. Salvation, or the revelation of this mystery, or by which we are, if we know Christ, we are ambassadors, all of us. Tell the truth, and it's up to God to pull the cover away. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 26 through 29. Paul's made a minister, even he declares the word, the mystery which has been hid from ages, from generations, but is now made manifest, here we go, to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, How do you explain that? It's a mystery until he unveils it, made manifest unto his saints. Again, not everyone, but I will say the scripture, agree with the scriptures, it's a number which no man can number from every kindred, tribe, nation, and tongue. It's the number of the sand of the seas. So what I'm saying is this mystery or this secret is God's secret. It's his mystery. He can and does and has revealed it to those whom he has given eyes and ears to see it and hear it. So he will get all the glory in our salvation, not us, never us. It puts eternal life where it belongs, in God, in him. I want to close, look at three passages. Proverbs chapter 25. Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 2. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing. That word conceal means to hide. It's his secret. Job chapter 34. Job chapter 34 and verse 29. When he, that is God, gives quietness, who then can make trouble? That's what we were talking about back there. If we know God's on a throne, trouble comes. If God gives us quietness, nobody can bother us. But look at this next thought. And when he, God, hides his face, that word, that means to conceal by covering. When he hides his face, who then can behold him, whether it be done against a nation or against a man only? We have to back off. God is on his throne. Salvation is owned by, and it is in Christ. You will have to go to God to plead that it may be revealed to you and to me. And as somebody made a comment, God always hears a genuine cry for mercy because he's put that cry in the heart. This is not just, we're not just talking doctrine, we're not talking theology, we're talking about the revelation of a mystery. And I'm not up here to make you curious of what's underneath that cover and get all excited and do magical tricks and this and that. No. I'm just here to preach. But God has to pull that veil back. He has to reveal it. Let me close by a very encouraging and exciting passage, Isaiah 35. Now we won't go into everything. I'm going to read the whole chapter. It's only 10 verses, but this is regarding his church. This passage is regarding the church of Jesus Christ. The wilderness, Isaiah 35. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the church, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. His church talks about his excellency. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong. Fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened. The ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. Streams in the desert. Doesn't make sense. This gospel never makes any sense until it makes sense. Isn't that the truth? I mean, I could give examples, but it'll bring tears in my eyes. It doesn't make sense until it makes sense. to let that old man came, "What must I do to be saved?" "And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes, and a highway shall be there in a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring man, though fools, shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up therein. It shall be not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion, the church, with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads, and they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away." Oh, I pray that the Lord would set us upon this beautiful and lovely highway in verse 8. Yes, a fool, but a fool who has been shown mercy. There's not going to be any unclean there because we're pronounced clean, like that leper. He wasn't pronounced clean in Leviticus 13 until that leprosy had encompassed the whole body from the bottom of the foot to the top of the head. He says in another place, there's no cleanness in it. There's no soundness in it. And then the priest looks at him and he says, "Clean. Are you a full leper or just?" No, this highway, this way of holiness is for those, they're wayfaring men. We acknowledge we're sinners. We acknowledge we've been foolish. Will not err therein. How do we understand? How can the mystery of God, God incarnate, flesh, God made flesh, how do we understand it? It's a mystery. But it's been revealed. And I thought about this. This controversy used to be, I don't know if it's still a controversy. How much do you have to know to be saved? I'm not even going to go there. I do know this. How much? What's been revealed? What's been revealed? And Christ will be revealed to you. Brandon, would you close us, please?